Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Jeremiah, and we're in chapters 27 through 30. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to 2 Peter in chapter 2. It's a very profound thing to consider that there might be people you can't trust in high, powerful positions. And yet we've had a lesson in that in recent days, I believe. We want to trust those who are our leaders, whether spiritually, medically, politically. Well, this morning, Peter has turned a corner after having told us that what you and I enjoy is a more sure word of prophecy, because things had really happened in his lifetime. This is 2,000 years ago. But think of all the things that happened in his lifetime. Jesus showed up. And when he traced all the threads, and as he writes his gospel using Mark as his secretary, as it were, his amanuensis, as they called them, he, as an apostle who was really up close and personal with Jesus, saw a lot of stuff. He saw the glory of Jesus revealed in power as he was transfigured on the holy mountain, he told us in chapter 1. And all of the things that he has told us really just blow our hair back, because we sit back and say, the Lord is awesome. He had shown himself powerful. He walked on the water. Even Peter walked on the water for a moment. And Peter saw a lot of stuff. But now he's turning the corner, because the whole point of this letter that he writes is that he would have us understand that there are deceivers afoot. First Peter talked about the devouring lion. Second Peter deals with the deceiving serpent. And so when we come to this chapter, I'm going to really use it as a launch pad, because he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What he said at the outset, we would call it 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1a, because we need to understand it, is where he says there were false prophets also among the people. What we don't maybe understand is how powerful those prophets were. Because I know that many of us maybe have read through our Old Testament, but the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah are still a little bit cryptic. So I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you into an arena where this unfolded in real time. So if you'll take your Bibles now and turn from this passage with the idea in mind about false prophets, we're going to go to Jeremiah and chapter 27. What we have here is really a number of chapters in succession that deal with false prophets. False prophets that went nose to nose with the true prophet, Jeremiah. The Bible says in verse 1 of Jeremiah 27, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. You remember Josiah, he was a great king, wasn't he? He was one of the best. He was the one who found the book, and he was the one who wanted to restore the temple to its previous proper condition so worship could be re-engaged. He actually had a Passover that was just amazing, and all of the people rejoiced to have such a king with such a heart. And the Bible tells us that it was his son, Jehoiakim, who now is king in Judah. And the Bible says that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, now this Jehoiakim, who has a throne that he lives upon, I have said to you often, you and I reign as kings. We have push buttons. We have sports on our TV. We have entertainers of all sorts on our televisions, and we can get right up close, and with the visuals you can get now with some of these high definition televisions, the zooming in on a football field is phenomenal. You can almost see the pores on people's faces. It's like you're right there. It's a phenomenon, really. We are really people who make these kings of old envious if they were to have known what was coming. all of the entertainment, all of the singers, music all day long if we want it, quiet if we want it, a car, we can go from one place to another. I was thinking how I could get to Worcester, you know, in under an hour. If I was walking it, it would take me all day. We're talking about kings. Kings would choose counselors. Every one of us reigneth kings, and we choose our counselors. Thank you for letting me speak into your life. You didn't have to. There's many opportunities to go any number of places. But we choose our counselors. We listen to those counselors, or we don't. It's all up to us because we're kings. Nobody can micromanage you, though in years past we have had times in the church back in the day, you know, it was kind of a little bit more harsh, maybe a little bit more controlling in one sense. And I'm not talking about the need to champion truth and the need to call for a standard, but I'm talking about maybe the demeanor. I am kind of governed by the passage in Corinthians where he says, we don't have dominion over your faith. But I would be, as he said, I would be a helper of your joy. All of the things that we speak about are to help your joy. And this morning we're talking about false prophets because you have to choose a prophet or prophets that you're going to listen to on the radio throughout the week and where you attend church. All of that is chosen by you. I would say at the outset here, choose ye wisely. Because the world is beset by false narratives and false prophets. It says that in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts. And he basically says a couple of things. First, verse 5, it says, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed fitting. See, the idea is that a couple of things are unique in this passage. The first thing that's unique is that he's told to take a yoke and put it on himself. He almost becomes a pantomime as Ezekiel did all the time. He's now being a pantomime in his own life by putting a yoke upon his own neck. He's also going to ask these messengers to take a yoke, put it on their neck, and he's going to send them to these surrounding nations. It has often been said that God wants his judgments known in the world. But at certain sectors of time in Israel's history, we find that judgment hath fallen in the streets. I looked for judgment and I found none. That's Isaiah 4, 5, and 6. But the idea is judgment is in short supply. He has even shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. He wants you to exercise judgment, sound judgment, and to do justly. But what we are finding is that Israel had not been doing justly. They had their older brother, as it were, the northern kingdom, taken 100 years prior. They saw what happened when they went into idolatry. And Judah's down here now really on the ropes. They're constantly apostatizing in their own day. It's not unlike our day. When the more you learn from history is that you don't learn from history. We saw it in Israel. The Assyrians came, took them away. We saw it in Judah, and the Babylonians came and carried them away. And this is that time. The Babylonians are on their way. In fact, they've already been there and gone at this point and taken a lot of the implements of the service of the temple. A lot of gold in there. They took it. They said, give us all that stuff right there. We want all that gold stuff. They left a few things. But it was like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree compared to what it was prior. And so we see him as a pantomime prophet, but we also see him now because the people of Israel were not showing the Lord's judgments. God has to show his judgment upon his own people. Now, we're not Israel. When it says, if my people, which are called by my name and all that, and it's talking about, that's a national repentance that's called for. Our country is not a Christian nation any longer. It was largely Christian. In fact, we used to have, even in our lifetime, the advantage of playing on the home team field. We used to have that. It's inverted now. You and I are on the enemy's field. Okay. All the cheers and all the roars of the crowd are for dissipation, are for dissolution of our country, are for the destruction of everything we hold dear. And we find ourselves being pushed back upon hard every single day. Israel had no testimony, therefore God had to take into His own hands the important message that needed to be gotten out. And that message was that God made the earth. He made the beasts, He made the men, and He did it by His great power, His outstretched arm, and He has given it unto whom was meet unto Him. He raises up one, He puts down another. And He says, and now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is Him telling them, you and I are living in a day where God's telling us stuff. The writing is on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. You and I are seeing it. Weighed, wanting, done. Okay? We're done. This country has now gotten to the place where really it's like a kid rolling a little tire down the road and letting it get away from him. And I know that's a picture of old-timey days when people played with an old tire. But you and I are living in the day where this has gone too far. There's no putting the toothpaste back into the tube. And what we're seeing now is we're seeing our country being warned. God is getting a word out. There are people all over the internet. They're using chapters and verses. They're actually talking about things of God they're honoring Him with. Their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. They don't know God. They don't want to know Him. They just want God to play nice with them and for them. In fact, they think God's a talisman, that God's just a little genie in a bottle. And if they'll just say the right words, stand the right way, maybe say the right things in front of people, maybe God will turn from what we're seeing on the horizon. Well, that's a misunderstanding of who God is. God does not dance to our tune. It is up to us to dance to God's tune, to take His yoke upon us and learn of Him, because He's meek and lowly. He's not up there ginned up to get to a point where He wants to really destroy the world, because God is long-suffering, not willing any should perish. That's who God is. God wants people saved. And when we read these passages, what we see is a real prophet giving a real message, and God Himself not only broke protocol by having Jeremiah take upon Him this yoke of wooden chains, but He also sends messengers to the surrounding nations. You realize, I hope, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that there are three angels that will fly through the heavens in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, and they're going to proclaim the gospel straight to the people. And God's breaking protocol. You know why? Because it's going to be really, really dark in the tribulation. Part of the reason it's going to be dark is because the church is out of here. The other reason it's going to be dark is because anybody who names the name of Christ after the tribulation begins will have to die for their faith. They won't be able to set up a church. And if they have a little bit of an underground situation, that'll be limited and probably very, very brief, because our world is a technological marvel. They're watching us on every hand. What we find is Him saying, go to the other nations and tell them everybody's going to be under Nebuchadnezzar. I want to say to you today, we're coming to a place where everybody's going to join a global community. It's going to happen. I trust we'll be out of here before the fullness of that is realized, because the Bible teaches us that. We're looking at future things like a CAT scan on little slices, but we see it. And by the way, the global society, I believe, can be understood as the fulfillment of the desire that was spawned at the Tower of Babel, where God said, I will not withhold anything man has imagined to do in Genesis 11.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.